Yes, welcome to the dark. Hi, welcome to A Scott in the Dark, and my name is Scott Swenson. I am the host of this podcast, and that's, you know, welcome to the wonderful world of duh. And, I don't know. So I just wanted to say that we are back with another podcast, and I am so excited to do this one simply because, like so many of my podcasts, I choose material that kind of relates to what's going on in my life. And at this particular time, I am in the midst of doing a show, actually a play, called Blithe Spirit, which is written by Noel Coward. It was written in 1941, and those of you who are diehard haunters are going, yeah, that's great. Really interesting. But the reason I wanted to bring it up is, first of all, it's the first time I've done scripted live theater, other than, you know, immersive stuff or anything like that, but scripted live theater as an actor for over 14 years. Yes, I'm that old. But I decided, you know, there's a great phrase that I love to live by, and that is, you should do something that frightens you every single day. I've kind of expanded that to say, you know, you should do something that frightens you and something that frightens somebody else every single day. Well, going back to the stage as an actor in a theatrical piece terrified me, and I'm so glad I did it. I'm playing a character. The character's name is Charles Condamine, and I am I play an author who invites a medium to his house, a psychic medium to his house. Good thing I can talk better when I'm on stage than when I'm in my own podcast. I invite a psychic medium to the house to do a little research for an upcoming book or novel that I'm writing, and I accidentally call back the spirit of my deceased first wife. And it's very funny. It's a little spooky, it's a little funny, it's a little romantic, it's just a lot of fun. So since we just did our opening weekend of the show, and if you're listening to this in a timely manner and happen to be in the Tampa Bay area and want to come see it, we're at the Stageworks Theater playing every Friday night, Saturday matinee and Saturday night, and Sunday matinee through June 17th of this year, obviously. If you're listening to this later, then never mind, you missed it. But if you are listening to it in a timely manner and happen to be in Tampa, want to come see the show, you can go to stageworkstheater.org and get tickets. That was my shameless plug for the show I'm doing. So now let's move forward into the show that I'm actually doing now, I guess, my podcast, duh. So I was thinking, since I am doing a theatrical piece, I thought it might be interesting to do a podcast about how theater and haunt can work together. Ways that, you know, you may not have thought of before, ways that might not necessarily work for everybody, but certainly things to think about. For those of you who have listened or have met me or seen any of my presentations at various and sundry shows, you know that I believe that haunt and theater are really one and the same thing. Haunted attraction is a theater piece that you walk through. I've always believed that. I will continue to believe that. But, you know, it doesn't mean that you necessarily have to be remarkably well-versed in theater. It just means that it's important to sort of understand the basics. And the nice thing about working in live theater, because I know that every community has some sort of local theater scene going on. Tampa, we're very lucky. We have a very robust professional theater scene, and I've done, you know, a lot of stuff, everything from judging productions to running, sitting on the board of an organization called Theater Tampa Bay. And so I'm very much involved in the theater here in Tampa, Florida. But if you're not, you know, you might want to reach out, branch out a little bit, poke around, and what I hope to explain in this episode is why and how that can benefit you as a haunter. So I think probably one of the most important things to recognize is, like I said, haunt is theater, whether you want to admit it or not. You know, nobody wants to say, well, I'm not in theater, I'm a haunter. Yeah. And that's great. You know, that's fine. But they are so related and so interrelated that I think it's just important to recognize that you can learn a lot from the theater community, and the theater community can benefit from the experience that haunters bring as well. Kind of a win-win scenario when you get involved with your local theater companies. Probably the first reason that comes to mind is when you start involving yourself with your local theater community, you make some great connections. You meet some great people that can benefit you as a haunter. People like lighting designers, people like audio designers. You know, these are people that, you know, may have a freak flag that they want to fly every now and then. And what better way to do that than designing lights or sound for a haunted attraction? They can bring a whole different perspective, a whole different, you know, emotional language to your haunt. And the best way to meet these people is to actually work with them, you know, to get out there and maybe volunteer at a local community theater so that you can work with their lighting install team, or find a professional theater that needs some extra help. Because I know that pretty much every theater can use help. Now, obviously, they don't just let anybody in if you have absolutely no experience. But as a haunter, let's be honest, you've got experience with everything from hanging lights to, you know, hiding cords to recording music to recording sound effects to installing speakers to building sets to distressing things to making costumes to doing makeup. I mean, you've got some experience there. And I'm sure that if you find the right company, the right theater company, you'll be able to sort of edge your way in and start making those connections. Not only are theater companies great opportunities to meet with designers, I mean, let's face it, it's a great place to recruit actors. Now, I know there's that ongoing debate is, you know, I've heard haunters say, well, I don't hire actors because they just don't know how to haunt. And again, my feeling is you've just hired the wrong actors, because good actors, trained actors, can adapt to the situation of a haunt. I've done it. I know it works. And it's just, don't get people who think they're actors who are actory. Get people who are really good actors who can create wonderful characters, and it can bring whole new life to your cue lines. It can bring whole new life to your key moments, you know, in your storytelling process. Plus, they may be able to connect you with folks who may not be as well trained to do some sort of stage piece, but they might be absolutely perfect for your haunt. So again, a great way to connect with actors and perhaps, you know, staff of some sort. Plus, it's always a good idea if you're going in as an actor into a piece of live theater, whether you get the job or not, go into it and audition, because that will give you a better understanding of the vibe at auditions. You know, if you happen to be a casting director for a haunt, for example, if you're trying to find those people, if you go in and audition, you now understand what nerves are going on with them and how they feel. And you also understand the importance of finding the right people for the right role. With Blythe Spirit, for example, the play that I'm doing now, haven't done theater in 14 years. And the director called me, and she's a friend of mine, and she said, hey, would you be willing to come in and audition for the show? And I thought, well, sure, yeah, I'll come in and audition for the show. Why not? I haven't auditioned in a long time, and again, let's do something that puts me out of my comfort zone. So I came in, and I was lucky. I didn't have to prepare anything. I was just reading from the script. And so I read over the scenes a couple of times and went in and thought, oh, this will be fun. So I went in, and I had a great time. I read with another actress, an actress who had actually already been cast, and so I read through it a couple times, went home, and thought, well, that was really fun. I'm glad I did that. Later that night, I get a call from the artistic director of the theater company, and another person that I've known for a very long time. And she said, well, we were trying to find somebody who was really handsome for this role, but we couldn't find anybody, so would you like to do it? And I said, sure. So It was a great wake-up call for me as to how the audition process goes and how people feel before, during, and after an audition. And it will help me the next time I'm casting, whether it's for, you know, a haunted attraction or an immersive theater piece or whatever. And so I think that everybody should go through those every now and then. And going through a theater audition may give you some new ideas as to how to find people who can do exactly what you need them to do for your haunt. Other good connections you might make in doing local theater, again, whether it's professional or community, is to hook up with their marketing folks. Find out how they market their plays. Do they use social media? Do they contact local news folk? Do they try to get on radio? Because you might find something that you hadn't thought about. And I'll tell you, theater companies are running on just the same shoestring budget that haunted attractions are running on. Because most of them are 501c3s, most of them are nonprofit organizations, whether they are professional or not. And that way they get grant money, but still, they're trying to make every dollar spend like $10, $20, or $30. So you can hang out with their marketing folks, find out, you know, what connections they have. If, and I'll talk about this more in greater detail later, but if you can find a way to share your database and their database, there will be an overlap of the folks between the haunt fans and the theater fans. So you might be able to double up your database there. So again, another good connection is to hook up with the marketing folks who are working in your local theater. And again, volunteer for them. You know, everybody thinks, well, I can't give anything away. Well, the truth is, you're not giving anything away. You're investing in your own product by helping somebody else out, so that come haunt season, they'll be able to say, hey, you know what? Here's our list of who we contact when we open a new show, or here's, you know, if you're really lucky, really lucky, somebody will say, well, here's our donor list, or here's our board list, because these are, you know, people who are already interested in supporting some form of performance, and they just might, around Halloween time, want to help out something spooky. So get in there, get into the theater, you know, make those connections, and then it'll be great. I think equally as important as the connections you might make is the experience. I mean, let's face it. If you are a haunter who is fascinated with building sets, the more you get to build sets, the better you get at it. The more you get to scenic paint. You know, the way a lot of theater companies work is they have a set designer who designs the set and usually is involved with sort of being the lead construction guy as well, guy or gal. But they always are looking for scenic painters. They're always looking for people who can come in and take their walls that they have built and make them look like rich oak paneling, or make them look like something other than what it is. Make it look like metal. Make it look like wallpaper. Does all of this sound really familiar? I mean, if you've ever done a haunted attraction, chances are good you've done some form of scenic painting, and you had to make a plain, you know, plywood wall look like it was a gothic manor, or look like it's the inside of a factory, or look like it's the walls of a spaceship. You know, building scenic for haunted attractions is no different than building scenic for theaters. And it gives you the opportunity, because they actually, you know, professional theaters, even community theaters sometimes, will actually pay people to do this. So it's a way to earn a little bit of extra money while gaining some additional experience for your haunt. The other thing that theaters are always looking for, depending on the show, obviously, but are always looking for people to do some form of special effects. In Blythe Spirit, for example, the show I'm doing now at Stageworks Theater in Tampa, plug, 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 plug. I know I'm shameless. I'm sorry. I apologize, but only a little. So, but in that particular show, there's a point where the spirits, who are at this point in the show unseen even by the audience, basically tear apart the set. So they had to do some special effects. And since I happen to be, you know, part of the cast, I made a few suggestions. The scenic designer had it well under control. But I made a couple of cool suggestions, and they were able to make them happen. So paintings fly off the wall, and you know, the piano slams shut, and books fly off the wall. And so they're looking, again, does this sound familiar? They're looking for people with this kind of expertise. And even if, you know, you haven't done that specific kind of stuff, I'm sure you could help them. I'm sure you could think of, oh, well, here you can use monofilament, or here you could use a spring trap, or here you could use pneumatics, or here you could use, you know, pretty much anything and everything we use in Haunt all the time. Now, obviously, not every piece of theater requires that, but, you know, there are things like shows like Dracula or Rocky Horror Picture Show or the musical Jekyll and Hyde, obviously Blythe Spirit. They all have different needs for different kinds of special effects. And again, if you are a makeup artist or a costume designer, guys, your skills that you use for Haunt can also be used for live theater. Why not get paid for them? Why not, you know, put together a portfolio of things that don't have blood on them, things that, you know, aren't covered in great stuff, you know, some of your, you know, 18th century Edwardian steampunk goth stuff. You know, you take the blood off, take the watch gears off, and now you've got costumes for The Importance of Being Earnest, if you, you know, if you so desire. So it's just a great opportunity to get paid while you're refining your skills. It just keeps you fresh. You know, it keeps your skills fresh. If you are a Haunt actor, I strongly recommend that you go and audition for some form of theater if you're not already. Because you will learn so much. And even if it's community theater where it's a volunteer situation, you will learn so much about how to affect people emotionally, about how to make it fresh each night, about how to reinvent the same thing over and over and over again so that every single guest who experiences it as though it's the first time you've ever done it. So it gives your acting chops off-season polish when you're doing that. The other thing that it does that I think is interesting and I think really important is it gives you, as either an actor or a designer or whatever you do for your Haunt, it gives you exposure within your community. It gives you something else to put up on your Haunt's website. You know, come see John and Marcia so-and-so in such-and-such a play, and then come and see us in October. It's a way to remain in touch with your Haunt audience because you're constantly giving them other things to do. It gives you an opportunity to build a following online. Go see John and Martha XYZ's lighting at such and such community theater. It makes you viable. It makes you visible within the community, and it, you know, builds your credibility. You know, when your Haunt comes around and somebody goes, oh yeah, I saw them in The Odd Couple. They were hysterical there. I wonder if they can be scary. Well, yes, they can. Sorry. I had to do the bad Haunt voice. So just make sure that you recognize that it keeps your Haunt or your Haunt actors or your Haunt designers or you as a Haunt actor in the public eye, even in the off season. And if you are a Haunt actor, it gives you the opportunity to perhaps be seen by the Haunt owners. You know, invite them to come and see your show so that maybe when Haunt season rolls around, you're on the top of their list. Or maybe they write something, and I have done this many, many, many times. Maybe if they see you in something, they will write something specifically for you. So you kind of know going, well, you may not know it, but the Haunt owner or the director or whomever will know it when they go into casting that, hey, you know what? I really want to make sure that so-and-so comes to the auditions because this piece was written for them. You've heard me talk about one of my dearest friends and great Haunt actress, Luna Mystique, a.k.a. Diana Bennett. She is, you know, there are many times that I have written roles specifically for her. Just because I know what she can do, and it makes my job as a casting director much easier, because I can just say, oh, yeah, I can get Luna to do that. That'll be great. So when you're out there, if you haven't built up that sort of rapport with haunt owners, or you're in a new, you know, say you're in a new town or a new environment, get involved with their local theater, even if your end goal is to work as a haunter, because you can invite the haunt owners to come and see you in such and such a play. They may not come, but at least they know you're an actor and they know that you're interested. And if you're a smart haunt owner, you will be going to some of the local theater productions, even high school and college theater productions, just to see who's out there as far as talent goes. Because sometimes actors don't even think about haunted attractions as an option. Some of them don't want to do it. That's fine. You don't want them. If they don't want to do it, you don't want them. But others never even realize that's an option. Oh, that's a way to act, and I might get some money for it. And even if you're a volunteer haunt, I might get do what I love to do and maybe get, some sort of recognition or a coupon to McDonald's or whatever. I don't know, however you incentivize. That was a whole nother show. We'll talk about that again, probably some other time. But anyway, so it kind of goes back to the connection making. But it gives you exposure within your community. It keeps you visible in the non-haunt season. It also gives you the opportunity to work with other directors. If you are a haunt owner, and I hear this from haunt owners a lot, they'll say, well, the people look right, but I just can't get them to do what I want them to do. Well, that's what a director in local theater does. They get actors to do what they want them to do. And there are a lot of techniques out there. Maybe that'll be a future show. We'll do a show on directing haunt actors. Not just because I've done a lot on haunt acting, but maybe I should do more a little focused on directing. I tell you what, if you think that's a good idea, let me know on the Facebook page. Because if you go to Facebook and search A Scott in the Dark, you can actually comment on all the shows. We're building a neat little community there, so you do have to join the group. But, any of us can approve you, so go ahead and click, yeah, I want to join. Just go to Facebook, search A Scott in the Dark, and you will find our Facebook group. And if you think doing a show on how to direct haunt actors is a good idea, let me know, and I will see if I can put one of those together in the future. But if you are a haunt owner and you want to learn tricks of the trade, work with other directors. Even if you go to the theater and you don't have the time to commit to doing the actual show itself, maybe, some theater companies might just let you, or some directors might just let you sit in on a rehearsal and you can kind of peek over their shoulder. Because, again, a director's job is the same as a haunt owner or a casting director's job for a haunt, is to make the actors do what you want them to do and do it consistently and do it well and not go too far and not be too light and not say things like, get out or fresh meat. And worse yet, boo. We all want to punch him in the throat. I know. What else? Oh, the other thing that's important to recognize when dealing with theaters and the sort of the overlap between theaters and haunts is if you do develop a relationship by doing shows with your local theater companies, there are a bunch of shared resources, things that might actually save you money or save the theater company money. Don't be afraid to share. Let me say that again. Don't be afraid to share, because many costume companies, or many theater companies, have costume departments. They have costume storage. They have saved costumes from their old shows, and they are sitting usually in plastic tubs. If they're really lucky, they're up on racks. But they're sitting somewhere, in some warehouse somewhere, gathering dust. If you can find a way, if you as a haunt have some stuff and they have some stuff, maybe you can work out some sort of sharing of costumes. Quite often theater companies will, and this is also true, by the way, of theme parks. So keep your eye out if you have a local theme park, especially smaller theme parks. If they have old costumes, every now and then they just decide, we got to clear out this crap, get rid of it. And that is a perfect way to get some costumes. I just recently, thanks to having really good friends who I won't mention by name because I don't want to get them in trouble, but I just recently got a ton of really interesting, cool costumes absolutely free from a local cruise line. Now, being here in Tampa, there's a couple different cruise lines, so now nobody knows who exactly it was, but they were clearing out their costume warehouse, and they called, you know, several local theater companies as well as me, and said, "You want to come through and just, you know, get rid of some stuff? We're getting rid of some stuff, so do you want to just come through and pick out what you want? You can take it home. You can make it as haunty as you like." And the nice thing is, when theater companies or cruise lines or theme parks or whatever are getting rid of their costumes, they're already distressed. So all you have to do is, you know, dust them down just a little bit more usually and throw them on your actors and you're good to go. They may also be looking for specific props that you might have as a haunter that they wouldn't keep in their prop storage. You know, every now and then you're going to see that they'll need a skull or like the show that I'm doing now, Blythe Spirit, at Stageworks Theater Company in Tampa. How many plugs can I get in before this episode is over? Anyway, no, wait, there's more coming. But they may need specific props. Like in Blythe Spirit, they needed a vintage Ouija board, and they needed a crucifix or a cross, but they didn't want to use something that was going to be offensive, so they kind of wanted an old wooden cross. Those are the kinds of things that, you know, haunters may have that may be sitting in their storage lockers or wherever, may actually be sitting as props in their haunt if they keep their haunt up year-round, that they could, of course, loan out to the local theater company. And in doing so, then perhaps borrow costumes later. So create that sharing environment with costumes, props, scenery, lighting, whatever. And again, you can create win-win scenarios, you know? I've said it before. I've said it in my articles a couple of times for Seasonal Entertainment Source. Sharing doesn't diminish what you have. Sharing increases what you and other people have. So with theater companies, work that to your advantage. The other thing that's interesting about theater companies is they're sourcing a lot of the same stuff that you are. They need makeup, you need makeup. They need costumes, you need costumes. They need paint and glue and nails and whatever. And they may have sources that you haven't found yet. They may have opportunities or vendors that you haven't discovered yet, and vice versa. You know, they may not have thought, for example, that their lighting designer wanted some sort of little tiny fixture that wasn't, you know, a giant stage fixture, which is what they have most of the time. And so they didn't know about Gantam and the little LED, you know, light piano fixture. They may not have known those. So you as a haunter can share that resource with them. And they may have resources as a theater company. For example, they may have really good makeup sources, whether it's local in your community or, you know, ordering directly from the manufacturer. And if they do, you might even, depending on, you know, how involved you are with them, you might even be able to work together to get some sort of group buy. You know, you might be able to go together and, you know, you both put together an order, and sometimes when you order more of something, you can get a better price. And if you're able to get a better price by working with a theater company, ta-da, you both save money. You both save money. So just a couple of things to think about when it comes to shared resources. Again, lighting and audio. Many theater companies have audio that is set up in their theater. They very rarely have little tiny speakers that sometimes they need for things like, I call them practical audio, things like a phone ringing or a gramophone. And that's something that many haunters may be able to share with them, are little tiny, you know, even the rinky-dink computer speakers that I think we all use for something at some time or another. You can, you know, maybe lend those to your theater company so that you can borrow their great Dracula cape during the haunt season. The other thing that I think is interesting when we talk about sharing between theater and haunt community is perhaps sponsorship of each other. Now, if you're involved with a for-profit haunt and your local theater company is doing, I mean, this is just like a no-brainer, your local theater company is doing Dracula or Hunchback or whatever, why not buy an ad in their program. And then later, see if they want to sponsor, do a sponsorship for your haunt. And you may just find that, you know, some people may just do a tit-for-tat kind of sponsorship and say, you know, well, we'll give you promotion for your haunt. Now, obviously, you don't want to do that in their children's theater programming. I mean, that's probably not. Well, you might, I guess, if you have a family-friendly haunt. I don't know. But if your haunt is you know, blood-soaked, you really don't want to be advertising that in Hansel and Gretel. You know, that's probably a bad program. It does have a witch. I grant you that. And it does have eating of children. Maybe that's not such a bad idea. Who knows? But I think that joint sponsorship, just to raise the profile of both the theater company and the haunt, can be beneficial to both organizations. And when it comes to things like printing, you know, theater companies may have ways to get things printed cheaper if they do them in bulk. I don't know. I just think there's a lot of missed opportunity there between theaters and haunts, because, like I said, there's an overlap of those audiences. You know, not everybody who goes to theater is going to go to a haunt, and not everybody who goes to a haunt is going to go to a theater and go see a show. But there is that kind of overlap, and I think it's silly not to take advantage of it. Something else that I don't know of anybody who's done it. I'm sure somebody has, but I think it's I think it's a missed opportunity here somewhere. Theaters are always trying to raise money. They're always trying to raise money. Haunts are always trying to raise money. Why not work together to do some sort of really cool fundraiser? You know, theaters, when they're not producing shows, are open spaces. Most haunts are always looking for spaces to set up. Wouldn't it be cool to have a haunted attraction and a theater come together to do a night of Edgar Allan Poe? You know, get some of your great queue line actors or some of the actors from the theater company to work together and present readings of The Raven and The Telltale Heart, whatever else, and split the revenue. You know, it's low cost. It would cost very little to do. And again, I'm throwing this out there as an idea. I hope somebody does it. And if you do, please, please, please let me know. Please let me know if you do this, because, you know, I would love to come out and read The Raven. I don't care where you are. I'd love to come do it. When I was still working at Busch Gardens, I actually wrote in that The Raven was to be read in its entirety in the queue line for one of the haunted houses that I wrote. And the only reason I did that is because I wanted to record The Raven. It was so much fun. But anyway, but why not, you know, work together with the actors in the company to do that sort of thing? And see if you can generate funds both for the haunt and for the theater. And you can do it in the off season. You know, you can do it in both of your off seasons. And all it requires is a space and some actors and a little bit of rehearsal, and see how that, you know, see how that turns out. I think another thing that's kind of cool that you could do in theater spaces is staged seances. And of course, I have seance on the brain because I'm doing Blythe Spirit at Stageworks Theater here in Tampa, and it has a seance in it. Yet another plug. I know you're getting sick of those. I'm so sorry. Not. But but you could do a stage seance, and you could bring people in and have them, you know, put the table in the middle of the theater, put it like on the stage or something, and use it as a fundraiser for the theater. Make it a high end thing. You know, invite the theater board members. I don't know. I just think that could be really, really cool. I just think that there's a lot of ways to raise money for both organizations that utilize the skills and the resources of both teams in order to generate additional revenue outside of the haunt or the play itself. So I guess what I've said in way too many ways now is if you are a haunt owner, make friends with your local theater company. If you happen to be listening just on a whim and you're not a haunter, but you have a theater company or are involved with one, see if you can get them involved with a local haunt and see if you can share your resources. Because when the tide comes in, all ships rise. You know, we all use the same stuff. We might as well try to share it and try to share it in ways that are going to benefit us both. Plus, as I have learned over the last 3 weeks of rehearsal for Blithe Spirit at Stageworks Theater in Tampa, get tickets at... Oh, that's probably somebody from Stageworks now. No, you can get tickets at stageworkstheater.org. Just saying. Runs until June 17th. But if you've got... if you are working on a show, it is a ton of fun. It will polish your skills. It will refresh you. It will make connections for you. And hopefully open up a few doors that will end up improving your haunt for your guests. Because let's face it, I'm all about making sure that every haunt that everyone goes to is absolutely stellar. All right, I'm not going to plug the show anymore. I'm not going to talk about Blithe Spirit at Stageworks in Tampa anymore. I'm not going to say that. I am, however, going to let you know that I will be... In July, I am all over the place. I am at a whole bunch of shows in July. And again, if you are a listener, last time I was at... when I was at Transworld and when I was at HauntCon, both shows I had people come up to me and say, oh, you're Scott, right? I would love to... I just want to tell you, I thoroughly enjoy your podcast. If you think it sucks, just, smile and wave or something. I don't know. No, you can come up and tell me it sucks. That's okay. You can say, would you ever focus on something? Because I wouldn't mind that at all. I like that kind of constructive feedback. I can't promise you that I'll change, but it's always a good idea to, get both the positive and the negative feedback. And I usually have a pocket full of little round pins that have my Scott in the Dark logo, the light bulb logo on them. So, if you say you like it, I just might give you a pin. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, I'm going to be at a bunch of shows, and I'm promoting these shows not so much to promote me, but to promote the shows themselves, because one of them is a brand new show. One of them is a theater show. It's actually a historic theater show, which I was invited to present at. And one of them is probably my favorite haunt show ever. And I know I shouldn't pick favorites, but it's so much fun. And one of them is designed specifically for the folks who are in the industry, and especially the higher end industry, but even folks who are home haunters could learn from this. It just might not necessarily fit within your budget. That's all I'm saying. But the first show that I'm going to be at is the Southeastern Halloween Enthusiast Convention, SEHEC. And I know last episode I tried to talk about that and stumbled over my words all over. So here is the information to the best of my ability. I'm speaking on a panel there, and I'm also teaching a seminar there. So, and it is the Southeastern Halloween Enthusiast Convention. And it is July 13th and 14th. It's in Ocala, Florida. And if you want more information, they have a Facebook page. So just search, I just recently searched SEHEC. And I found it. Or you can go to SEHEC.com and you can get tickets. You can find out who's going to be there, what we're going to be doing. It's not only a great show, it is also raising money for Shriners Children's Hospital. So it's a brand new show. It'll be its first year, and I want to make sure that it is absolutely packed so it happens over and over and over again. And, of course, the reason I want it to happen is because it's in Ocala, Florida, so it's close. It's a relatively short drive for me. But if you happen to be up north and you want to come to Florida in July, be prepared. It's going to be warm. But it's just a great... all the people involved are wonderful. I mean, one of the people who are helping put it together... Bill Ramsey, those of you who know Bill Ramsey, he's kind of heading up the whole thing. And then, Robbie LaPree, who was my right arm, other half, I don't know what you want to call her, muse, boss. She held many roles at Busch Gardens with me. She is also very much involved in putting together some of the panels and some of the education side. But like I said, I'll be sitting on a panel, and I will be teaching a seminar there. And that is July 13th and 14th in Ocala, Florida, SEHEC.com. Then right after that, I fly out to Austin, Texas, where I will be at the League of Historic American Theaters Convention, which isn't necessarily a haunt thing, but I'm teaching a seminar that is all about using the paranormal to generate revenue for historic theaters. So, and I'm team presenting with my other great friend Joel Witecki, who works at the Tampa Theater, Historic Tampa Theater here in Tampa, Florida. And it's going to be a great seminar. I'm so excited. We're going to talk about how to use real ghost stories and how to use fake ghost stories, how to do real paranormal investigations, and how to create your own sort of mythology to help raise money for historic theaters. And most of these are historic movie theaters, but many, many historic movie theaters also do live performance. So I'm very excited. So that will be Austin, Texas, July 15th through the 18th. Then later in July, I am going out to Long Beach, California for two different shows. Midsummer Scream is a show that I went to for the first time last year, did not present, just went out and enjoyed it, had a great time. And this year they have invited me, yay, to come out and do a seminar. I will be doing an acting seminar on acting for haunt and immersive theater. And I am beside myself happy about that. That is July 28th and 29th at the Long Beach Convention Center. And if you want more information, you can go to midsummerscream.org. The thing that's so cool about this show is it's part fan show and part haunt show. They have what they call the Hall of Shadows in the convention center, where different California haunts set up little rooms from their haunts, so you can actually get like a sampling of different haunts. This year they also have Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, is going to be there. Cassandra Peterson is going to be there. Then they've got various and sundry writers from horror films. They've got folks from Universal Studios. They've got folks from Knott's Berry Farm, and me. I'll be there. So go and see that show. It'll be a lot of fun. Like I said, Long Beach, California, at the Long Beach Convention Center, July 28th and 29th. It's called Midsummer Scream. And then right after that, like literally the next day, I will be a key speaker, one of the panel speakers at the Seasonal Attraction Leadership Symposium. Which is July 30th, and it's going to be on the Queen Mary this year. And this is a very interesting sort of educational day. It's a full day-long symposium or seminar, and it's a panel discussion where a bunch of different people with a bunch of different backgrounds speak on a specific topic. And then after that, there are going to be breakout sessions where you'll get to chat with each and every one of us on a one-on-one or three-on-one or table-on-one basis and ask very specific questions. And this year, I think it's put together by Philip Hernandez, who is the editor-in-chief for Seasonal Entertainment Source magazine, and which is also owned by Gantam Lighting, as a matter of fact. And so he's got a bunch of fun and silly things planned. So very excited about that. So that's the Seasonal Attractions Leadership Seminar, July 30th on the Queen Mary. Wow. Okay, so I might as well be an electrician, because I've put so many plugs into this show. I'm exhausted. And I'm sure so are you. So this is Scott Swenson with A Scott in the Dark saying, one more time, let me plug the Facebook page. If you want to join our group, please join our group. Please join our Facebook group. We would love to hear from you. It's a great group of people who are starting to chat amongst themselves, and then I chime in whenever, almost all the time. Or I have a YouTube channel, which you can watch, I think, this show, if it got recorded. I don't know. We'll see. I always screw up the technical stuff. So check me out on YouTube. And, God, that's enough plugs. Until next time, rest in peace.